Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, the assembled Vaishnavas. Welcome back to the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books, right here in the live studios of The Haven, which is located in Hythe, Kent, Southeast England, just a stone's throw from the English Channel. And here we are again. I'm a little late, and I'm sorry, but at least I'm here. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahima Stotram, written by Srila Sanatana Goswami, is very eloquently glorifies the Srimad Bhagavatam. It goes like this: Sarva Shastra Dipi Yusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnaja, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabho, Kali Dvandodita Ditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life air of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master, Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya, Prema Varshak Shradayate, Sarvada, Sarvasevyaya, Sri Krishnaya, Namostume. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madekabando Matsangin, Madguro Man Mahadana, Man Nistadaka Mad Bhagya, Mad Ananda Namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadhu, Sadhutadayin, Ati nicho chatakara, Hanamuncha gadachin mam, Premna rit kantayoksu spura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we reach the 14th chapter of the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and by the mercy of Parikshit Maharaj, who was asked Shukadev Goswami to give a direct meaning to the teachings that Jhud Bharat have just given in three chapters to Maharaj Rahugana. So we are getting a lot of mercy these last few days. We're going to hear chapter 14, the material world as the great forest fire of enjoyment. Summary. The direct meaning of the forest of material existence is given in this chapter. Merchants sometimes enter the forest to collect many rare things and sell them at a good profit in the city. But the forest path is always bedecked with dangers. When the pure soul wants to give up the Lord's service to enjoy the material world, Krishna certainly gives him a chance to enter the material world. As stated in the Prema Vibharta, Krishna Bahir Mukha Hai Bhoga Bancha Kore. This is the reason the pure spirit soul falls down to the material world. Due to his activities under the influence of the three modes of material nature. The living entity takes different positions in different species. Sometimes he is a demigod in the heavenly planets, and sometimes a most insignificant creature in the lower planetary systems. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Nana Yoni Sadapide. The living entity passes through various species. Kardarya Bhakshanakare. He is obliged to eat and enjoy abominable things. Tara Janma Ada Pateyaya. In this way, his whole life is spoiled. Without the protection of an all-merciful Vaishnava, the conditioned soul cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Manak Chastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. Bhagavad Gita 15:7. The living entity begins material life with his mind and the five knowledging acquiring senses, and with these he struggles for existence within the material world. These senses are compared to rogues and thieves within the forest. They take away a man's knowledge and place him in a network of nations. Thus, the senses are like rogues and thieves that plunder his spiritual knowledge. Over and above this, there are family members, wife and children, who are exactly like ferocious animals in the forest. The business of such ferocious animals is to eat a man's flesh. The living entity allows himself to be attacked by jackals and foxes, wife and children, and thus his real spiritual life is finished. In the forest of material life, everyone is envious like mosquitoes, and rats and mice are always creating disturbances. Everyone in this material world is placed in many awkward positions and surrounded by envious people and disturbing animals. The result is that the living entity in the material world is always plundered and bitten by many living entities. Nonetheless, despite these disturbances, he does not want to give up his family life, and he continues his fruitive activities in an attempt to become happy in the future. He thus becomes more and more entangled in the results of karma, and thus he is forced to act impiously. His witnesses are the sun during the day and the moon during the night. The demigods also witness, but the conditioned soul thinks that his attempts at sense gratification are not being witnessed by anyone. Sometimes, when he is detected, he temporarily renounces everything. But due to his great attachment for the body, his renunciation is given up before he can attain perfection. In this material world, there are many envious people. There is the tax-exacting government, which is compared to an owl, and there are invisible crickets that create unbearable sounds. The conditioned soul is certainly greatly harassed by the agents of material nature, but his intelligence is lost due to undesirable association. In an attempt to gain relief from the disturbances of material existence, he falls victim to so-called yogis, sadhus, and incarnations who can display some magic, but who do not understand devotional service. Sometimes the conditioned soul is bereft of all money, and consequently he becomes unkind to his family members. In this material world, there is not a pinch of actual happiness for which the conditioned soul is longing life after life. The government officials are like carnivorous rakshasas who exact heavy taxes for the maintenance of the government. The hard-working conditioned soul is very saddened due to these heavy taxes. The path of fruitive activities leads to difficult mountains, and sometimes the conditioned soul wants to cross these mountains, but he is never successful, and consequently he becomes more and more aggrieved and disappointed. Becoming materially and financially embarrassed, the conditioned soul unnecessarily chastises his family. In the material condition, there are four principal needs, out of which sleep is compared to a python. When asleep, the conditioned soul completely forgets his real existence, and in sleep, he does not feel the tribulations of material life. Sometimes, being in need of money, the conditioned soul steals and cheats, although he may apparently be associated with devotees for spiritual advancement. His only business is getting out of the clutches of Maya, but due to improper guidance, he becomes more and more entangled in material dealings. This material world is simply an embarrassment and is composed of tribulations presented as happiness, distress, attachment, enmity, and envy. On the whole, it is simply full of tribulation and misery. When a person loses his intelligence due to attachment to wife and sex, his entire consciousness becomes polluted. He thus only thinks of the association of women. The time factor, which is like a serpent, takes away everyone's life, including that of Lord Brahma and the insignificant ant. Sometimes the conditioned soul tries to save himself from inexorable time and thus takes shelter of some bogus savior. Unfortunately, the bogus savior cannot even save himself. How then can he protect others? The bogus saviors do not care for bona fide knowledge received from qualified brahmanas and Vedic sources. Their only business is indulging in sex and recommending sexual freedom even for widows. Thus they are like monkeys in the forest. Srila Shukadeva Goswami thus explains the material forest and its difficult path to Maharaj Parikshit. Text 1. That was just the summary. Okay, here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. When King Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest, Shukadeva Goswami replied as follows. My dear King, a man belonging to the mercantile community, Vanik, is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest to acquire cheap commodities like wood and earth and sell them in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually, he enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of the external energy, Daivi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies, one after another, under the influence of material energy, and impelled by the modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to the earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets and lower species. Thus he suffers continuously due to different types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge, and these bring about the different bodies and different conditions. Using the senses under the control of the external energy, Maya, the living entity suffers the miserable conditions of material existence. He is actually searching for relief, but he is generally baffled, although sometimes he is relieved after great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, he cannot get the shelter of pure devotees who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Purport. The most important information in this verse is Hari Guru Charana Aravinda Madhukara Anupadavim. In this material world, the conditioned souls are baffled by their activities, and sometimes they are relieved after great difficulty. On the whole, the conditioned soul is never happy. He simply struggles for existence. Actually, his only business is to accept the spiritual master, the Guru, and thus through him, he must accept the lotus feet of the Lord. This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasadi Poi Bhakti Lata Bij. People struggling for existence in the forests or cities of the material world are not actually enjoying life. They are simply suffering different pains and pleasures, generally pains that are always inauspicious. They try to gain release from these pains, but they cannot due to ignorance. For them, it is stated in the Vedas, tad vijnanartham sagadun eva bigacchet. When the living entity is lost in the forest of the material world, in the struggle for existence, his first business is to find a bona fide guru who is always engaged at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. After all, if he is at all eager to be relieved of the struggle for existence, he must find a bona fide guru and take instructions at his lotus feet. In this way, he can get out of the struggle. Since the material world is compared herein to a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. A great city, however, is like a great forest. Actually, city life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in a forest. There are many big cities all over the surface of the globe, and wherever one looks, he sees the struggle for existence going on 24 hours a day. People rush about in cars going 70 and 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going, and this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed. There is always the danger of an accident, and one has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties, and his struggle is not at all auspicious. Apart from human beings, other species, like cats and dogs, are also struggling very hard at night, day and night, for existence. Thus, the struggle for existence continues, and the conditioned soul changes from one position to another. For a while he is a child, but he has to become a boy. From a boy, he has to change into a youth, and from youth to manhood and old age. Finally, when the body is no longer workable, he has to accept a new body in a different species. Giving up the body is called death, and accepting another body is called birth. The human form is an opportunity to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and, through him, the Supreme Lord. This Krishna consciousness movement has been started to give an opportunity to all members of human society who are misled by foolish leaders. No one can get out of this struggle for existence, which is full of miseries, without accepting a pure devotee of the Lord. The material attempt changes from one position to another, and no one actually gains relief from the struggle for existence. The only resort is the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and through him, the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Text 2. In the forest of material existence, the uncontrolled senses are like plunderers. The conditioned soul may earn some money for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, but unfortunately, the uncontrolled senses plunder his money through sense gratification. The senses are plunderers because they make one spend his money unnecessarily for seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, desiring, and willing. In this way, the conditioned soul is obliged to gratify his senses, and thus all his money is spent. This money is actually acquired for the execution of religious principles, but it is taken away by the plundering senses. Purport. Purva jan marijita vidya, purva jan marijitam dhanam agre davati davati. By following the principles of the Varnashram Dharma, one attains a better position in the material world. One may be rich, learned, beautiful, or high-born. One who has all these assets should know that they are all meant for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, when a person is misguided, he misuses his high position for sense gratification. Therefore, the uncontrolled senses are considered plunderers. The good position one attains by executing religious principles is wasted as the plundering senses take it away. By executing religious principles under the laws of Varnashram Dharma, one is placed in a comfortable position. One may very easily use his assets for the further advancement of Krishna consciousness. One should understand that the wealth and opportunity one gets in the material world should not be squandered in sense gratification. They are meant for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore teaching people to control the mind and five knowledge acquiring senses by a definite process. One should practice a little austerity and not spend money on anything other than regulative life of devotional service. The senses demand that one see beautiful things. Therefore, money should be spent for decorating the deity in the temple. Similarly, the tongue has to taste good food, which should be bought and offered to the deity. The nose can be utilized in smelling the flowers offered to the deity, and the hearing can be utilized by listening to the vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, the senses can be regulated and utilized to advance Krishna consciousness. Thus, a good position may not be spoiled by material sense gratification in the form of illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. One spoils an opulent position in the material world by driving cars, spending time at nightclubs, or tasting abominable food in restaurants. In these ways, the plundering senses take away all the assets that the conditioned soul has acquired with great difficulty. Text 3. My dear King, family members in this material world go under the names of wife and children, but actually they behave like tigers and jackals. A herdsman tries to protect his sheep to the best of his ability, but the tigers and foxes take them away by force. Similarly, although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all his assets forcibly, even though he is very vigilant. Purport. One Hindi poet has sung, Din ki daki ni rat ki bagini palak palak lahu kuse. During the daytime, the wife is compared to a witch, and at night she is compared to a tigress. Her only business is sucking the blood of her husband both day and night. During the day, there are household expenditures, and the money earned by the husband are at the cost of his blood. At the cost of his blood is taken away. At night, due to sex pleasure, the husband discharges blood in the form of semen. In this way, he is bled by his wife both day and night. Yet he is so crazy that he very carefully maintains her. Similarly, the children are also like tigers, jackals, and foxes. As tigers, jackals, and foxes take away lambs, despite the herdsman's vigilant protection, children take away the father's money, although the father supervises the money himself. Thus, family members may be called wives and children, but actually they are plunderers. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Text 4. Every year, the plowman plows over his grain field, completely uprooting all weeds. Nonetheless, the seeds lie there, and not being completely burned, again come up with the plants sown in the field. Even after being plowed under, the weeds come up densely. Similarly, the Grihastha Ashram, family life, is a field of fruitive activity. Unless the desire to enjoy family life is completely burned out, it grows up again and again. Even though camphor may be removed from a pot, the pot nonetheless retains the aroma of camphor. As long as the seeds of desire are not destroyed, fruitive activities are not destroyed. Purport. Unless one's desires are completely transferred to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the desire for family life continues, even after one has taken sannyas. Sometimes in our society, ISKCON, a person out of sentiment may take sannyas, but because his desires are not completely burned, he again takes to family life, even at the risk of losing his prestige and disgracing his good name. These strong desires can be burned out completely when one fully engages in the service of the Lord in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Text 5. Sometimes the conditioned soul in household life, being attached to material wealth and possessions, is disturbed by envious men who are like gadflies and mosquitoes And sometimes he is troubled by thieves, who are like locusts, birds of prey, and rats. Nonetheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activity. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. Purport. The following song is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Ahankare mata hai nitai pada pasariya asat yari satya karimani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth, and opulence, one thinks the false material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. The living entity is eternal and blissful, but despite miserable material conditions, he thinks the material world to be real and factual due to his ignorance. Text 6. Sometimes in this house in the sky, Gandharvapur, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses, just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. Purport. There are two worlds, the spiritual and the material. The material world is false, like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, animals think they see water, but actually there is none. Similarly, those who are animalistic try to find peace within the desert of material life. It is repeatedly said in different shastras that there is no pleasure in this material world. Furthermore, even if we agree to live without pleasure, we are not allowed to do so. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the material world is not only full of miseries, dukkhalayam, but is also, temporary, ashashvatam. Even if we want to live here amid miseries, material nature will not allow us to do so. It will oblige us to change bodies and enter another atmosphere full of miserable conditions. Text 7. How's the purport of this one?
Not long.
Okay. Sometimes the living entity is interested in the yellow stool known as gold and runs after it. That gold is the source of material opulence and envy, and it can enable one to afford illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication. Those whose minds are overcome by the motive passion are attracted by the color of gold, just as a man suffering from cold in the forest runs after a phosphorescent light in a marshy land, considering it to be fire. Purport. These are great verses, huh? Purport. Parikshit Maharaj told Kali Yuga to leave his kingdom immediately and reside in four places: brothels, liquor shops, slaughterhouses, and gambling casinos. However, Kali Yuga requested him to give him only one place where these four places are included, and Parikshit Maharaj gave him the place where gold is stored. Gold encompasses the four principles of sin, and therefore, according to spiritual life, gold should be avoided as far as possible. If there is gold, There is certainly illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication, because people in the Western world have a great deal of gold. They are victims of these four sins. The color of gold is glittering, and a materialistic person becomes very much attracted by its yellow color. However, this gold is actually a type of stool. A person with a bad liver generally passes yellow stool. The color of this stool attracts a materialistic person, just as the will-o'-the-wisp attracts one who needs heat. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Next one.
Yes, short listening
period. Good. Text 8. Sometimes the conditioned soul is absorbed in finding residential quarters or apartments and getting a supply of water and riches to maintain his body. Absorbed in acquiring a variety of necessities, he forgets everything and perpetually runs around the forest of material existence. Purport. As originally mentioned, a poor man belonging to the mercantile community goes to the forest to get some cheap goods to bring back to the city to sell at a profit. He is so absorbed in the thought of maintaining body and soul together that he forgets his original relationship with Krishna and seeks only the bodily comforts. Thus, material activities are the conditioned soul's only engagement. Not knowing the aim of life, the materialist perpetually wanders in material existence, struggling to get the necessities of life. Not understanding the aim of life, even though he acquires sufficient necessities, he manufactures artificial necessities and thus becomes more and more entangled. He creates a mental situation whereby he needs greater and greater comforts. The materialist does not know the secret of nature's ways. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The spirit, the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Due to lusty desire, the living entity creates a certain mental situation whereby he wants to enjoy this material world, and thus becomes entangled, enters different bodies, and suffers in them. And this one is short also, the next one?
It's about a page.
It's a little long.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to stop here for tonight. It's 7:44, which is just about the right time. We started a little bit late, but it's okay. So, we'll end our reading for tonight and wait patiently for the reflections of the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
First, we have one from Rati Manjari.
Yes, Rati Manjari.
She says, Jai Guru Maharaj, more ice water tonight.
Oh yeah, a whole big bucket full.
Sudevi Dasi. She says, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Sudevi Dasi, I have two words, the best things to hear in the universe. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Then Gopakanya Devi Dasi.
Yes, Gopakanya Devi Dasi.
Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj, and all assembled sages, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam, the daily reading service of yours. The daily reading service of yours, dear Maharaj. Jai Ho.
Jai Ho. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Bhakta Brian.
Yes, Bhakta Brian.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. The joy you deliver this nectar to us with makes my heart sing. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's like ice water, but the truth be told, it sounds like music to me. You know, even if we haven't been able to fully grasp and fully taste the nectar, at least these chapters have sounded like music to me. So this is a good sign. So let's keep hearing it. Hare Krishna.
He says, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to his divine grace.
Now one from Daityari Haridas.
Daityari Haridas, Haribo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I really liked the point today that Prabhupada made in one of the first purports we read. Quote, without the protection of an all-merciful Vaishnava, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. End quote. I feel being able to appreciate the power of chanting Hare Krishna, doing service, or reading Prabhupada's books is dependent on this principle of the blessings and protection of advanced devotees. My chanting and service had become a little stale recently. But after hearing a class from our temple president, Tarakanath Prabhu, this morning and doing some service that was pleasing to him recently, it feels like spiritual life has become surcharged again today, and I know that that hasn't come from me and my own efforts alone. How can we always stay under the shelter of more advanced devotees than ourselves and perceive their blessings in our lives every day? It's a skill I really need to develop. The material mind tends to be extremely ungrateful and attached to ridiculous ideas that lead to suffering. Being peacefully situated in reality seems more difficult than it should be.
Well, that's what these chapters have been about. It's been about why the material world forces us to think like that. It forces us to see things that are actually not very good for us to be good for us, and things that are good for us to be not very good for us. That's called a mirage. You know, you see. You know, there's a story that I heard. One of my godbrothers told this story a long time ago. I first heard it 40 years ago, but it was so hilarious. There's a man, and he has a very important appointment that he has to make to at a certain time. And just as the time is approaching, he goes for the keys of his car, and he loses the keys. Can't find the keys of his car. So he's down on the ground looking for the keys of his car, and a friend just happens to pass by. And his friend says, what's going on? He said he was very anxiety. Oh, I have an appointment and I have to be there, and I lost the keys to my car. My whole life is going to be ruined. And he said, really, can I help you? Yes, please, please help. So then he got down on the ground and started looking, and then he asked him, where was the last place that you remember seeing your keys? He stopped and he thought. He said, about 500 yards that way. And he says, well, why are you looking here? Well, there was a lamp post here, and there's no lamp over there. I just couldn't see properly. So I had to laugh, because that's exactly what we're doing in the material world. We're looking for real pleasure in a world that everything around us is temporary. It's not possible for the soul to feel, you know, completely comfortable in this material world. That's why the basic principle of spiritual life and advancement in spiritual life is austerity, tapasya, brahmacharyena. So you're asking how to keep it. There's only one way to do that, and that's to keep doing devotional service. Devotional service done for the pleasure of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, and in people in general. you know, and what to speak of the Supreme Lord, is the source of real pleasure. But we're in the modes of nature. And those modes of nature are constantly, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, they're always vying for supremacy. Sometimes goodness becomes a dominant, and sometimes passionate becomes dominant and covers the other two. Sometimes ignorance becomes prominent and covers the other two. But these things are not actually the fact. The fact is that the soul is eternal and the soul is looking for eternal happiness. And he can find that eternal happiness by being with devotees who are experiencing that eternal happiness and the activities that they're doing in devotional life, in devotional service. We heard right in the purport, you like to smell nice things, smell the incense or the fragrant oils or the flowers that are offered to the deity. You want to eat some nice, your tongue wants to eat some nice food, taste Krishna prasadam. And it goes on and on. You know, all the senses can be engaged with the finest quality of things, the finest quality of sound. We just have to associate with those things and that those sounds and those activities, and associate with the devotees who are also doing those same things. And therefore, when the modes do change and shift, it goes away quickly. It always goes away. If you're feeling nice and peaceful, you can be sure in 5 or 10 minutes you'll be agitated. And another 25 or a day, you'll be bewildered. And that's the way of the material world. And the way to smooth it out and make it sane is to keep engaged in devotional service. Tasmat tvam inriyanyado niyamya bhadatarshaba. Regulate your senses. And then you can conquer this lust, this extreme desire for material sense gratification. Number one, stop thinking about sense gratification. Number two, train your mind to always think about doing good for others. And three, hear these scriptures as much as possible. Hare Krishna.
One from Gemma Rutter.
Yes, Gemma.
Thanks for reading again, Guru Maharaj. Just what I needed to hear and much more. That was great. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Jai Prabhupada. Hari Bol.
Rati Manjari.
Yes, Rati.
She said in reply to Daityari Hari Prabhu's comment that this gem also grabbed my attention. We need the protection of an all-merciful Vaishnava or we will never get out of this material world.
Correct.
Now from Nikki Drans.
Yes, Nikki.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, so nice to hear from you today with the assembled Vaishnavas. I wasn't able to listen live on the 5-year anniversary of the daily readings, but still wanted to express my gratitude for these readings. They have really helped me, especially at the beginning stages. At first, listening to the Bhagavatam felt like being in a large ice storm. But through your association and these daily readings, I am now able to listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam and glean some nectar from its pages as well. Thank you so much for this.
Well, Hare Krishna, that's one of the most encouraging things I've ever heard. Thank you. You're giving me unlimited reasons and enthusiasm for keeping to do it. Thank you.
She then asks, please could you explain how we should understand these verses about family life? Do they apply to a grihastha household of sincere devotees? I am always confused when family life is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Please could you enlighten me?
If a person is a grihamedi, then he's just looking for sense gratification. But if a person is a grihastha, man or woman, children, whatever, and he sees them as belonging to Krishna, and he sees everything that he has to maintain as belonging to Krishna, that he's just a caretaker and a servant of Krishna, and he's serving other servants of Krishna, then he becomes a pure devotee, even if he's with his family. But the forest of material enjoyment is explaining in graphic terms, in direct graphic terms, what that family life is if one is not Krishna conscious. The nature of the material world is like that. And the only way to counteract it is to make your place where you stay spiritual, by spiritual activities, and by teaching the Bhagavatam and all this, and the Bhagavad Gita especially, and hearing them with the family members together, and chanting Hare Krishna together. And then very easily you can overcome these negative aspects of it. And by the time you're ready, then you can renounce. And even if you can't renounce, you stay renounced by staying in devotional service. I mean, it may just sound like words, it may just sound easy. It's not. Granted, it's not. But we've been given the tools by Srila Prabhupada very clearly. Rise early in the morning, bathe, make yourself clean, chant Hare Krishna, attend the prayers and worship the deities, chant your rounds, cook nice food for Krishna, honor the remnants, and do devotional service, whatever you're doing. Even if you have to go out and work, you see that as means for maintaining your temple at home and the devotees that you're maintaining at home. We have to learn how to think in Krishna consciousness in a way that the train of thought takes us to the lotus feet of Krishna and remembers Krishna in everything that we do. And then we don't live in this material world at all. We live in the spiritual world. Then we can taste that satisfaction, even though covering us are all the temporary forms and material, you know, atmosphere. It's possible to overcome, but it has to be done within the company of pure devotees. Hare Krishna.
Now from Vrajaloka Devi Dasi.
Yes, Vrajaloka.
Hare Krishna, dear Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to your daily readings. Thank you for reading tonight. It was very sobering. We read in the first purport, the only resort is the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and through him the lotus feet of the Lord. It is so beautiful. Thank you for giving us the solid refuge of pure devotees day by day. And she says, we heard today that the strong desires can be completely burnt out when one surrenders oneself completely to the devotional service of the Lord. Could you please elaborate on what does complete surrendering mean in our situation? Thank you so much.
When it says burnt out, it means that your senses, after trying for many, many lifetimes to enjoy the material world, you eventually get your senses get burnt out, and it's no longer attractive to you. You're forced to work in this material world and struggle until you no longer want to do it. So the struggle is meant to teach us that it's not worth doing. And then you can stop just working in the material world, and you can dovetail all of your senses in the service of the Lord. And it's not easy, but it is easy. It's the easiest thing, because as soon as you do the devotional service of the Lord, no matter what condition you're in, you become peaceful in your side and heart, in your heart. Yontak sukon tadadamas tatantar yotirevacha. If you look within, if you look for the happiness that is there within us, the soul, when it's connected with Krishna, and be satisfied with that, take pleasure there, then eventually you can stay fixed in devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Now from Subbarao Rajagopalan.
Yes, Subbarao.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for ringing the transcendental alarm bell today. Today's alarm sound comes with a bucket full of ice-cold water.
Exactly.
James Gallagher says, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, James.
Jagamohan Das.
Haribol Jagamohan.
Hare Krishna, dearest Maharaj and dear devotees, please accept my respectful obeisances. Great reading. Money being the root of all evil is recognized almost universally as a fundamental truth.
Mm.
Yet gold has us all captivated and mesmerized and always hankering for more.
Mm.
Jesus describes that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Srila Prabhupada, using his proverbial bucket of ice water with precision, exactly what is needed to wake up the sleeping souls. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago.
Gaurachandra Bole. Exactly. Your comments, especially always, but especially recently, have been very nice and profound and eloquent. Thank you very much.
Subbarao Rajagopal is commenting on Jagamohan's. He puts the verse, Bhogai Shivarya Prasaktanam Taya Parita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadho Vividiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Bhagavad Gita 2:44.
Perfect answer. Perfect conclusion. Thank you.
Now more from Rati.
Yes, Rati.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tonight it was rather difficult to hear from me because I feel that I am committing almost all the mistakes Judd Bard and Shukadev Goswami are mentioning. It is not pleasant to feel like a retarded student, yet I do have faith that it is good for me to keep hearing it.
Well, Rati, this is one of the mysteries of devotional life. As you advance, you feel like you're less advanced. So what's happening is you're advancing in devotional life. Hare Krishna, congratulations.
And she says, I have a few questions. I apologize if this sounds pathetic. I can understand the value of constantly being engaged in devotional service. But if my consciousness and my sadhana are mediocre, and my thoughts are constantly shifting back and forth from devotional service to different thoughts of sense gratification, what will the effect of that service be?
There's always a permanent effect for doing devotional service. So continue to do your devotional service. Continue to do the devotional services that you like doing the best, and it puts you in the best state of mind, the best state of heart, and continue to do that. There's no pill you can take. There's no special, train that'll take you, bullet point, that'll take you immediately. You have to see it for yourself. The miseries of material existence are meant to bring us to the point of realizing what it is. And if we haven't realized what it is yet, then we have to go on suffering in material existence. But we have to keep doing the devotional service. And you're seeing the difference. That's the mystery of devotional life. What does Srimati Radharani think? She's the best devotee, by far. No comparison to anybody else. What does she think? She thinks that that everyone else is a devotee, except for her. That's how she thinks. So there she is, the emblem of devotional service, the most ecstatic person, period. And this is the way she thinks. So do you think you should think something different? Hare Krishna.
She says, perhaps all these things are meant to foster a mood of humility within me.
Exactly.
And she says, also I was wondering, if gold is mentioned to be like yellow stool, why is it considered to be auspicious to decorate oneself with golden ornaments during ceremonies?
Because it's beautiful. When we do ceremonies, when we actually do sacrifice, we were listening to the Ramayana the last few days, and we heard how the battle, how the warriors decorated themselves, and their weapons with gold and this and that and the other thing. That's what material life is. That material existence is. You're either attracted to Krishna, or you're attracted to gold. So your question is why, during ceremonies, we dress up, because we're supposed to be doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna isn't attracted to the gold, but he's attracted to the devotion that pushes us to try to make ourselves look very nice when we do things for Krishna. You read in the Bhagavatam during the Govardhan Puja, you know, all the devotees, they dress themselves in the best things they had, and then circumambulated Govardhan Hill to worship Govardhan Hill. It's because it's for the pleasure of Krishna. The gopis decorate themselves very nicely. Women in general like to decorate themselves nicely. It's the nature. It's the nature, the laws of nature. But if they do that for Krishna's pleasure, for no other reason. Hare Krishna.
She says, nice point about Srimati Radharani, especially because she never stops her devotional service to Krishna. Thank you, dear Vaishnava.
Hare Krishna.
And lastly, Nikki Drans, she says, that's very illuminating. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All the words I spoke and do speak are coming from Him. He gets all the credit. And at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami offers his obeisances to the readers. Because those who are hearing get the same benefit as those who are speaking. This is the magic of devotional service. It's the magic of devotional life. And when we see the difference clear enough, we'll give up material life and we'll take exclusively to the hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna. We can't imitate, but we can make that our goal. Make this the goal of life, to be absorbed always in thinking and love of Krishna, in deep gratitude. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bol. Just in case you haven't heard enough, we're gonna do it again tomorrow, and we're gonna hear more of the material world as a great forest of enjoyments.